Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Poorly Read. Peace on earth.
Yep.
Ba-ra-pa-pum-pum.
It's not, we're way past Christmas by the time this comes out.
I know, but we're recording this on December 4th, so my Christmas spirits are just getting jolly, if you know what I mean.
So we'll tell them to calm the fuck down.
Wait, what day will this one come out then?
January 15th, I think.
So it's like a week before my birthday.
Yeah.
Or the week before my birthday.
Yeah.
My birthday's next week, guys. If you want to send me things, I don't know, just send money to my PayPal account, I guess. What are we doing today, Tom?
What the bloody hell are we doing, eh?
The eternal question.
Chapters 30, 31, and 32 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
I hope your notes for chapter 30 are detailed.
Do I take it from that yours are not?
Well, because remember I said last week that I'd accidentally gone and into chapter 30 and finished?
Yeah.
So obviously because they were right at the end, I was like, oh, just write my head down, I'm sure it'll be fine. And then, so I didn't really like re-listen to it because I was like, well, I've got the notes. And then when I looked at them again, I was like, these are vague. But I was like, well, it's too late now. I can't go back. So
you couldn't possibly.
There's no
solution.
So yeah.
All right. I'll carry us on this one then, shall I? Oh God.
Thanks, Ma.
All right, chapter 30, The Pensieve.
Which movie Dumbledore pronounced pensieve.
Pensieve.
Which kind of makes more sense because it sounds more like sieve. But no, we say that anyway, pensive.
Yeah.
Forget I said anything, we'll cut this.
No, we won't. I need every instance of you looking a fool. So my detailed notes begin with Harry enters the office.
Yeah, goes into the office. We've got Fudge and Moody. Judge Fudge.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know where that's from?
No, I do not.
It's from a Drawn Together. It's this episode. There, he shows up a few times, but in like the courtroom, they go in and it's Judge Fudge, and he's like a chocolate brownie. Just like Judge Fudge, and he's like, I would have solved this crime, but I'm far too busy being delicious. So yeah, got Judge Fudge, Moody, and
Bumbledore.
Is that a reference we've made before?
Nope. I don't think so, is it?
No, it is, but it's a future episode, maybe.
Well, not once this comes out.
Oh, yeah. God, what is wrong with this? Sounds like this is the first time we've ever fucking done this. How do these mics work? Do we put it in our mouth? Do we put it in our anus? Where does sound come from?
Yes, you ask to mouth the microphone.
Can you imagine an ass mic, though?
What, just records all of your bowel sounds?
Yeah, I guess it'd be a lot like that, and then just like you'd hear like a muffling sound. Yeah.
Yes.
But like a new like educational short on like CBeebies, like Inside Gipton's colon.
All right, so basically Harry enters Dumbledore's office and then the adults are like, you stay here, we're going to go and search the grounds.
Yeah, for Barty Crouch.
Yeah. How long ago was that at this point?
That's a good point. I don't actually know. Maybe only like a day or so.
Yeah, it must be. But like, seems like a kind of futile exercise now, doesn't it?
I guess they don't know because they maybe think that he might just be wandering the Forbidden Forest, like...
Maybe.
You know, like out of his mind, so they need to go and rescue him, I guess.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what's really happened. And neither do we yet.
No. I'm still not 100%, to be honest.
Okay, I won't spoil it for you then.
Good. I know it's something to do with his son and the Imperius curse, but like, I can't.
Yeah, it's quite interesting when we get to it.
Yeah.
Like, stupid as fuck, but interesting nonetheless.
Well, I can't wait.
So yeah, Dumbledore's like, Harry, wait here, I'll be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail. And Harry's
what about
like,
those Tarantino references as well, aren't you?
What, is that from a Tarantino film?
That's from Pulp Fiction.
Two shakes of a lamb's tail?
Yeah, she says that over the intercom while he's waiting in the
okay.
house.
Okay, well, she didn't invent it. Anyway, like, Uma Thurman is only good in Tarantino films. If you ever watch her in anything else, she's terrible.
I can't think of anything else I've seen her in. Like, but then, Batman, as we know, Robin. I haven't seen her film, so.
Yeah, you're not even fucking seen Pulp Fiction.
I have seen a few Tarantino films.
Most of them, I stopped after Inglourious Basterds.
Oh yeah, I don't think I've seen... I think I have seen Inglourious Basterds. I haven't seen anything newer than that. I saw Django. Was Django after that?
Sorry, I stopped after that, yeah. Django Unchained was my last one. Which is just fine. I just kind of got a bit bored of his style, I guess.
Yeah.
I felt like he wasn't pushing any new boundaries.
Hmm.
Anyway, let's not divert. We've got so much to cover.
So much bloody Harry Potter plot to get through.
So Harry sits in Dumbledore's office, sort of wondering what to do with himself. Dun dun. And then he sees a glowing light from the corner of his eye.
Yes. Surprise, surprise, he sees a curious magical artifact in Dumbledore's office.
Which is full of them.
Yes. Quite.
I'm glad we agree. Concur.
Yes. Full to the brim. Magical artifacts.
Yes, and he's so like, sort of like a cupboard has been left ajar, so he goes into the cupboard and he's like, fucking hell, it's really snowy here. Damn, I'm in the wrong book series. I don't want a talking satyr, I guess, is what Mr. Tumnus is.
Yeah, or a fawn.
Yeah, what's the difference?
A fawn is like an actual word for a baby deer, right?
Yeah.
But then I feel like that is what he's called.
I think it is, but he's definitely a satyr.
Yeah, which is, he's like half satyr's goat. Like half goat, right?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck knows. Well, we'll be doing it after this series.
This short commercial break. Have you bought Preparation H lately? Buy some. You never know where you might need it. Sponsored by non-lubed gay sex everywhere. Oh, God. So he opens the fucking cupboard and there's a bowl full of swirling white liquid.
And he's like, Dumbledore, are you?
He's like, I guess this is Dad's gravy. And so, yeah, he's like, what the fuck is this? So as any curious young boy does, he sticks his head in.
Stick goes in face first.
Yeah. Yeah, so he puts his face in because he sees like images and stuff in it. And then he falls like into this darkness and lands on his arse on a bench.
Yeah, sat next to bloody Dumbledore, isn't he?
He's like, fucking hell. Dumbledore's like, no, Dumbledore doesn't say anything because he can't hear him.
Yeah. Bloody weird, isn't it?
Yeah, and Harry looks around and he's in what looks like a massive sort of like dungeon, and there's loads of like witches and wizards there in robes, like quite serious robes, and he sees Barty Crouch Senior, the head of like a plinth.
Yeah, plinth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he sees Moody sitting next to Dumbledore as well, and then after a little while, like, they wheel in Igor Karkaroff.
Yeah, and Harry deduces that he must be in a memory.
Sorry, yes.
Because he's experienced something like it before with Tom Riddle's diary.
Yeah, because no one can see or hear him.
Yeah, so exactly.
Like, and everything's a weird, in my mind, everything's a weird colour. Okay. Imagine everything has the hue of a 1950s sitcom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone speaks like this and goes like, Brontosaurus burger? Why am I making a Flintstones reference?
I was about to say that sounds like a Flintstones reference, but I'm sure it's something more sophisticated than that. But I should have known better, really, shouldn't I?
Yeah, what else would you have that in? Flintstones or Jurassic Park, I guess. That's what they should have fucking served on the menu in Jurassic Park, is dinosaur meat.
Well, what do they serve?
Just beef, I guess.
Well, we know they have cows because they feed one to
that is the most atrocious bit of that movie. It's so unnecessary. Didn't need to put a live cow in there. They could have, like, killed it first.
I still wouldn't say it's the most atrocious bit of the movie.
For me, it is, because the cow's the only person who didn't ask to fucking be there.
Mm.
Everyone else is like, oh, this sounds fun. And I'm like, well, you're fucking idiots then, aren't you? You go to an island that you can't get off of, like, when you want. It's full of dinosaurs.
I don't know. I would think, like, what is the chances of this whole facility, like, being overrun by the dinosaurs?
I mean,
and going
quite
down?
High, considering how we have, like, 8 films about how it happens.
Yeah, exactly. But we're talking about the first Jurassic Park film. I'd be like, well, surely that's not going to happen. I want to see some dinosaurs.
I mean, I would maybe, as soon as I found out they had a T-Rex and raptors, I would have been like, can we get the first helicopter off for this place, please? Because that was stupid. You wouldn't, they could have done just as fine if they had just only bred, like, vegetarian ones, I feel.
Yeah, that's
people,
true.
People would have still gone. You wouldn't go. Because think about it, before Jurassic Park, did any of us really care about T-Rexes and raptors? No. So,
I can't remember a time before Jurassic Park.
I remember exiting the cinema on that day and insisting I walk like a T-Rex. I have a really clear memory of that. And I, what a wanker. That's when my dad first realised he hated me. No, so they're wheeling Karkaroff and they're like, Karkaroff, you've been granted temporary leave from Azkaban, so as you say, you like have information for us.
Yes.
And he's like, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can give you names and I renounce everything I did and I'm so sorry and I will do anything you ask.
And Crouch is like, really?
Oh, really?
Even bum things? He's like, yes, Christ, the Dark Lord used to ask me frequently. He has a very strange penis. It looks like a noodle. He had to tie it around the mouse. He let the mouse go up. And then he pulled the mouse back out. And let it go up again and pulled it back out. And that's how he achieved climax.
I don't recall asking how the Dark Lord achieved climax, but thank you.
I just thought you'd like to know.
I have lots of detailed information.
His sperm was a weird orange colour. Was it sperm or was it Fanta? We don't know.
And the taste gave nothing away. Oh, no, he doesn't bloody say that. It would just be silly.
No, and so he starts like reading off names, basically.
Yeah, he says that he knows some names, but he doesn't know all of them because the Dark Lord kept them very secret. And
which was smart of him.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I would do it if I was going to organize
it. I think I'd want everyone to know just so they can all become friends.
I don't think...
sleepovers.
I don't think Voldemort cares about that.
Play spin the wand. And whoever it lands on has to, like, kill the person to his right. Like, oh, man, but we just became buddies. We were going to go camping together. No, you know, they're always like, no, okay.
Okay, go on then.
About that, no. No magic. Here's a broken bottle. Oh, God. What an atrocious night. Shit.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
It'd be funny to, like, pretend you actually are playing that with, like, a group of friends. And see, like, how long you can keep a straight face. And see how, like... And then, because, like, I bet someone would be like... Okay, I guess if it's the rules of the game, you'd be like, what? Yeah, mate, I'm joking.
You're going to let us actually kill you. Fucking hell. You'd do anything to fit in, wouldn't you?
He'd kill his best friend. It was a sticky end. It's never. Dun, dun, dun. So yeah, Karl Korsen is like reading off names and then Crouch is like, well, if that is all, then away with you. And he's like, no, wait, I have more. And then he starts saying more names, a few that they weren't expecting, because a lot of the names he said they'd already, like, known.
Yep, Antonin Dolohov, they already got him. Evan Rozier, he's already dead, was killed in the fight. Travers and Mulciver, and then Rookwood, and he's like, Rookwood?
Yes.
Who works in the Department of whatever at the Ministry? And
Department
he's like,
of Mysteries, I think.
Yeah.
He's like, yes, the very same.
The very same.
He's been passing information for months.
Yep.
I don't know what accent he's doing, I'm sorry. And they're like, huh, okay. Well, if that's all you have, then... And then he's like, no, wait, I have more.
Fuck it out.
And then he's like, Snape, Severus Snape, Severus.
Yeah, Snape, Snape, Severus Snape. And then Dumbledore stands
he's
up
like,
and goes,
Dumbledore!
He's like, oh, Everyone just turns and looks at him. He's sorry.
Yeah, and Dumbledore's like, ah, Snape defected to our side before the fall of Lord Voldemort and turned spy for us at great personal risk. He's now no more a Death Eater than I am.
Yes.
And Moody looks a bit like, what's the word?
Perturbed?
No, a bit like, we'll see about that. Kind of dubious, that's it.
Dubious.
Yeah.
That'll do.
thanks, Tom. And then...
Wasn't the word I was thinking of, but then it wasn't me who was looking for the word to begin with, so...
Or maybe incredulous.
That was the word I was thinking of.
Yeah, so 2 points to Gifton. Yeah, and then I think he throws out a few more names. And in the movie, he says Barty Crouch Jr. And then Barty Crouch gets up from the stand and tries to run away. And then they catch him. And then David Tennant does maybe the worst performance of his life.
And Yeah,
and I was thinking that was in the book. And I was thinking, while I was listening to it, I was like, so why is he going to save Barty Crouch for last? Then surely that'd be the name that you fucking start with, as it's the most like valuable one. And I thought, but then he doesn't say it. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine then. Because that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess in the movie they just didn't want to do like...
Three scenes. There's a lot of things in that movie that they unnecessarily cut, which kind of would have been better. But anyway. And then I think they will Carcroft away, but I'm guessing that a few of his names did work out, so they did release him in the end.
Yep.
So this scene shifts and then it's...
Same room, different memory. Ludo Bagman enters and sits in the chair, which doesn't bind him as it did Karkaroff. Bagman's been charged with Death Eater activity, passing information to Voldemort's supporters, and Bagman's all like...
I didn't mean to, it was an accident.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, he turns to the audience and like, guys. And they're all like, oh,
come
yeah.
On. Like, you didn't mean it, did you? And he's like, no.
Yeah, he says he was informing Rookwood of stuff, but he had no idea he was working for Voldemort. He was talking about getting him a job at the Ministry after his Quidditch days are over and stuff like that. The crowd believes him, basically.
Yeah, Crouch is like, all in favour of...
imprisonment.
Yeah, imprisonment and castration. And no one puts a hand up. And then he's like... and then someone does stand up and he's like, we would just like to congratulate Mr. Bagman on his excellent play in the game against whatever place last Saturday. And everyone cheers and stuff.
And Crouch, and Crouch is like, harumph.
Yeah, he's like, fucking get out of my sight.
Piece of shit.
Yes. And then the scene changes again, and then it's three people in the middle of the room, and everyone's fucking like dour.
Four people. I've got. Yeah.
Who's the?
I don't know.
It's Bellatrix Junior.
And I don't know. It describes four people.
No, who's Bellatrix's husband?
Don't know. I literally don't even know who the other people are.
I think it's either Rodolphus or Rabastan, which I think is a sick name.
Rabastan.
Yeah. Mr. Loverman. Rubberstan!
And there's a frail witch sitting next to Crouch.
Yeah.
Who we assume to be his wife.
And, yeah, they're like, you three stand before me, accused with the...
Four.
Unless you can provide this four person, I'm not going to reference it. I don't believe you.
Yeah, he's stand accused of torturing... Frank Longbottom, using the Cruciatus curse on Frank Longbottom to try and extract information about the Dark Lord's whereabouts, and then using it on his wife for some reason.
To get her baking recipes. Tell me where the gravy is. She's like, no! I have ways of making you talk. Really?
Yes, Crucio.
Yeah. See? Ah, but it's just making you scream. It's not what I had in mind. Maybe a cup of coffee, I guess. Like, like just a table appears, a little mug. Like, oh, that's better. Okay, now tell me everything. I like marshmallows in this cup. Fine! Marshmallows.
Marshmallows. And after that, she was never the same.
Yeah, for torturing them into insanity. Yeah, and then Barty Crouch Jr. is like, Dad, Mom, I didn't have anything to do with this, please. And then they're like, penalty for this, we suggest, to be a life imprisonment in Azerbaijan.
And then he starts screaming for his mother, to stop him, and she just sort of whimpers into her handkerchief. Bellatrix says, he will rise again, you can imprison us.
Yeah, because she's sitting there like bare cash, just like this. That's it. Harry says that she was sitting on that chair like it was a throne.
Mm.
I just have a lot of respect for her. I have respect for just how much she just owns, like, her
being a bad guy.
Yeah, she doesn't even have, like, a pretense of being good.
Mm.
And I don't know, there's something about that which is, I don't know, quite sexy, I think.
Yeah, well, the Dark Lord certainly thought so.
Yeah, he gets his noodle right up in there.
Ties it around a mouse, it runs up her.
And then Junior is like, no, Dad, please, I'm your son. And then Crouch's like, you are no son of mine.
I have no son. Then Harry hears a voice that says, Harry, I think it's time to return to my office.
Yeah, and he looks to the side and he sees old Dumbledore.
Yeah, another Dumbledore.
And he's like, two Dumbledores? What a lucky day. and then they fly upwards like Superman, and Harry kind of does like a somersault and lands on his feet in Dumbledore's office.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, what the fuck was that? And Dumbledore's like, that's a pensieve.
A pensieve.
It's where I put my thoughts. When I've seen something particularly awful, I take it out, put it in there, then I can jerk off to it in 3D. Yeah, and then Dumbledore's like, no, Harry's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pry. Dumbledore's like, no, it's fine, like, you know, but you got to temper your curiosity. When I have a lot of thoughts, I take them out, put them in here, and it allows me to examine them from a different angle. And then Harry's like, huh, okay.
He's like, well, what can I do for you, Harry? And Harry's like, yeah, he tells him all about the dream and how he passed out in divination and what he saw in the dream, and that his scar really hurt, really bad. And then he's like, yeah, and that's it. Dumbledore's like, curious.
Harry's like, oh, Dumbledore, those two people that they were talking about, the Longbottoms, is that Neville's parents? But Dumbledore's like, has Neville never told you why he lives with his grandmother? And then Harry's like, oh, he never thought to ask Neville why that is. And then Harry's like, no. Dumbledore's like, yes, Bellatrix Lestrange and blah, blah, blah. Crucified his parents or something. And then Harry's like, what? Are they killed them? And then Dumbledore's like, no, something far worse. They drove them to insanity.
Yeah.
They don't even recognize him.
Yeah, and they live in St. Mungo's.
Yes, in the permanent ward. And Harry's like, oh my god, that's so bleak. And
it's pretty heavy, isn't it? He's
like, yes. But it's fine, because they can never remember what you do to them.
Jesus Christ.
Upsides to every situation. Oh god, and Harry's like, what do you mean, Dumbledore? And Dumbledore's like, don't worry. Book 6 will be all about our little adventures together, Harry. And then Dumbledore's like, and by the way, don't tell anyone about this. Neville will confide in his friends when he's ready.
Yes. As part of telling Dumbledore about the dream, Harry asks Dumbledore if he knows why his scar hurts. And Dumbledore says he has a theory. He says it hurts when Voldemort is near, and also when he feels a particularly strong surge of hatred, because you're connected by the curse that failed.
Mm.
Which, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Harry asks, is Voldemort getting stronger then? Dumbledore speculates that maybe, because his previous rise to power was marked by disappearances, and there have been a few, even if the minister is ignoring them.
God, that's scary, isn't it?
Yeah. Harry asks about Bagman and Snape. Yeah, Bagman has never been accused of any dark activity since. And then Snape, he says, like, blurts out before he can stop himself. What made you think? He asks, what made you think that he'd really stop supporting Voldemort? And then Dumbledore says, that is a matter between Snape and myself, with an air of finality.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing that if someone said that to me, it would make me feel, like, deeply ashamed for even asking.
Yeah.
The tone in which he says it would make me feel bad about myself for having asked the question in the first place. I'd feel very embarrassed, I think.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I think when someone you have a lot of respect for kind of talks to you in that way, it makes you feel a certain way.
Yeah, it tells you that you have no place asking or saying that thing you just said. Yeah,
and it's like, ah, alas. And then Harry
exits the office. Dumbledore wishes him good luck with the third task.
And then chapter 31. What third task?
A fucking third task.
You so haven't been doing that for Hermione's voice recently.
No, I suppose I haven't.
Oh,
have
I keep forgetting. Don't forget anymore, Tom. I will stop and make you say everything again if you don't.
Okay. So, chapter one, chapter 31, third task. As usual, as so many of the chapters in this book do begin with, Harry tells Ron and Hermione everything that happened the night before.
So true, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Hermione sort of suspects that Bagman may be a bit more bad than he seems.
Yeah, because Winky was all like, Bagman is a bad wizard.
Yeah.
And Crouch has secrets. And that Rita Skeeter said, I know things about Ludo Bagman that will make your hair curl. And I was like, this is what she was talking about.
Yeah, which is weird because it turns out there isn't. He's just a gambler. So why is that particularly atrocious? Yeah. That's a bit bizarre.
Yeah, it's a bit. They stay up talking about it so long. Harry doesn't get any practicing for the third task done. But they say, you know, they'll help him out tomorrow. And that Ron and Hermione are like missing out on revising for their exams to help Harry. The third
Which
task.
Is odd of Hermione to do that.
Yeah, it is a little bit, but, you know, looking out for her mate.
Yeah, but how can you practice for something that when you don't know what it entails? All the spells that you know, then you just go and do it.
Well, yeah, but you've got to learn more spells.
Yeah, but, like, he doesn't use half the spells he learns, I bet.
Well, no, but you don't... Half the stuff you revise for doesn't come up in an exam, does it? It's the same thing.
I've never revised for an exam.
Well, me neither, but...
And then so Harry goes to bed that night and... He hears Neville snoring and then he thinks of what an awful fate kind of was upon Neville's parents.
Yeah, and feels like an intense surge of hatred towards the people that did it and then realises it all leads back to Voldemort. It's all Voldemort's fault that all these families are torn apart.
Yeah.
He gets all emotional about it.
And has a little cry wank.
Quank.
A crank?
A crank.
That's a great term. Let's use that from now on.
All right.
Let's have a crank.
Let's have a crank.
Yeah.
As if we're going to do it together.
So
Harry's feeling pretty good about his chances, generally.
Is he?
Yeah. Because he's all like...
I guess he's joint first, isn't he?
Yeah. And he's like, you know, he's feeling pretty good about the spells he's been preparing, all the curses and hexes and everything.
That's
and he's
good.
Like, and you know... Someone said this to him, they had a point, like he's faced down evil creatures and stuff before, and he didn't even have, now he's actually got like some warning, some chance to prepare himself.
Yeah, that's true.
He's like, yeah, you know, he's actually, and then, and also once the third task is over, the tournament's over, so he feels good about that.
Yeah, and to be fair, like nothing in this maze is going to be worse than what he's faced already.
No, exactly.
Like, it's just not.
No.
So, yeah, well, he should be fit.
As far as he knows.
Yeah, as far as he knows. Turns out it's actually the worst case scenario. Yeah. So they practice some more spells outside the next day, but then they see Malfoy over by a tree, like whispering into his hand.
Yeah, looking like he's talking into a walkie-talkie. So they're in the Great Hall having breakfast, right? And Hermione gets the Daily Prophet. And so she like tries to hide it from Harry. And he's like, what? Why? And then Ron, she's like, nothing. She gives it to Ron. And Harry's like, it's about me, isn't it? Ron's like, no. And then the Slytherins are all like, hey, it is about you. So basically, there's a headline in the Daily Prophet called Harry Potter Disturbed and Dangerous. One reporter witnessed Harry Potter storming from a classroom saying his scar hurt too much to continue. And Hermione's like, what, witnessed? How could she have witnessed it? How could she have been there? Yeah. And Harry's like, well, you're supposed to be investigating magical methods of bugging.
Yeah, and then Hermione goes, bugging. Of course. And then she lifts her hand to her mouth and then she runs her hand through her hair. And then she goes, no, but they're definitely not allowed. No,
yeah.
She's definitely not allowed.
And Moody wouldn't be able to see it.
Yeah. And then she goes, I've got to go to the library. And then Harry's like, but what, why? And then she's like, they finally got the book in, Harry.
Gosh, she's been going on about this fucking book for months.
Believe me, tonight will be a night you will never forget.
And she's not wrong.
Yeah. And then she fucks off. And then McGee appears, right?
McGee.
And then she's like, Harry, all the champions and their families are going to be meeting in the room off the Great Hall after breakfast.
Yeah. And Harry's like, they shouldn't expect the Dursleys to turn up, does she? And Ron's like, mom.
Can you imagine if they showed up? They're like, we just wanted to see if this is finally when you get taken care of, Harry. We brought our camcorder just in case.
But it won't work. It's going haywire.
Ah, look. It's turned into a lobster.
A Amos Diggory's a fucking ass.
So much. I can't believe that.
No.
What a dickhead.
And so also Molly Weasley is a fucking ass as well. Because
yeah.
So Amos is like, what is he all like? He shouts over.
To say sorry. So Harry goes into the room expecting to see the jerseys, and it's the Weasleys.
And the Weasleys have turned up there to support him. Yeah,
Molly. It's Molly and Charlie, is it?
And Bill.
And Bill, sorry.
Yeah, and Amos Diggory's there to see Cedric, and he's all shouts over to Harry, like, oh, not so full of yourself now that Cedric's caught up on points, are ya? You beat him once before, Ced, you'll do it again. And Cedric's like, ignore him. Yeah, someone says something about Rita Skeeter in the article that made out that Harry was the only Hogwarts champion, and Amos is like, yeah, well, you didn't bother to correct her though, did you? And then Molly's like,
yeah.
She shouts back and is like, you know Rita Skeeter goes out of her way to cause trouble. Don't believe that rubbish.
Yeah, like, look at what she said about you and Arthur in the ministry. And then Amos, like, shuts up.
Yeah.
And then Hermione appears.
And then, well, then why did she send that bitchy little fucking Easter egg to Hermione?
It makes no sense, because literally in the next breath, Hermione appears, and then she's like, hello, Hermione.
Yeah.
And then Harry's like, Mrs. Weasley, you didn't, like, believe that shit you read in Witch Weekly, right? And she's like, oh, no, of course not.
And then she warms to Hermione after that.
Yeah, and it's like, well, you're such a fucking, like...
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you fucking hot cross bun. and, yeah, so then Bill's like, oh, it's really nice being back. I wonder if have they still got that portrait of the old knight and stuff.
And they've still got the fat lady. And Molly's like...
yeah.
Molly's like, oh yeah, the fat lady was there in my day. She gave me such a scolding when I got back to the dormitory at 4 a.m. And Bill's like, what were you doing out until 4 a.m?
She's like, I was getting Roger outside, Bill. Roger, Ryan and Randy. Your dad put it up my skirt, flipped me over, and done it up the bar. It was fucking amazing.
I call it the gravy train.
Yeah. I was like, whoop, whoop, all aboard. Oh, God. And Bill's like, see, this is why I work in Egypt.
And Fleur Delacour's eyeing up Bill and his douchey ponytail and earring.
I forgot he had that.
Yeah.
I won't say anything more, just in case any of our listeners have those qualities about them. Yeah, and then they say that Percy's been called into the ministry for questioning because they reckon that the letters from Crouch might not have actually been from Crouch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, I guess the families hang out for the day and then the champions are told to follow Bagman down to the stadium.
Yeah.
The Quidditch pitch is unrecognisable.
The hedges have grown into the maze that we see. And it happens pretty quick. They're sort of just all like lined up and they're like, Harry and Cedric, you will go on my first whistle. Champions, ready! 3, 2, 1! Oh, God, that's a strictly, like, 90s UK reference there.
Yeah.
I apologise to all foreign listeners.
Yeah, anyone who isn't our exact age and region demographic.
Anyone who doesn't know who Jet is and Wolf... yeah, like, Crumb is second and then Fleur is going to be last.
Yep.
So he blows the whistle, basically, and Cedric and Harry run in. They're sort of walking in. As soon as they get into the, like, first bit of the maze, the sound from outside the maze, like, completely shuts off.
Yeah.
They can only hear... Not completely like, shuts off, it goes super, super quiet.
Yeah, I feel like in the film, doesn't the hedge, like, close up behind them?
Yeah, which I think is really cool.
It is, but then how does Crumb and Fleur get in? It
just opens up again, I guess.
Yeah.
They get to a fork in the road pretty early on, and then Harry goes, looks to his right, Cedric looks to his left, and Harry's like, well, okay, see you.
Yep, Harry does the handy compass spell.
Yeah, the four-point spell, which is pretty sick, I think.
It is pretty sick. The incantation is just point me, which seems like, what?
I mean, we get a few instances in the next couple of chapters of non-Latin spells, which I kind of like a lot, actually. It just proves us wrong about what we said.
Yeah.
No, not everything has to be in Latin.
No.
Some of it's in good old Cockney rhyming slang.
Yeah, Lumos Solem, you can just say current bun. So yeah, first thing he comes across is Cedric having just been attacked by a blast-ended Scroot.
Yeah, and then the misty step. the mist spell, which he steps into it and he gets turned upside down and he's scared to to like lift up his feet in case he falls into the sky, but he has to take the chance to just do it anyway.
That does sound terrifying.
Yeah, makes me go all like tingly.
He powers through it because he hears. I think that's when he hears Fleur's scream, and he's like, he's got to get there.
Yeah, and then he comes across his own Scroot, right? And they're like 6 feet long now.
Yeah, like 10 feet long.
Oh shit! Sorry.
Yeah, and his hexes are just rebounding off its armor.
And then he hits it underneath.
Gets
somehow,
it in
didn't
the
he?
End. Yeah.
I think he falls over, and as it lunges for him, he goes like stupefy, and it hits it on the soft, fleshy underbelly.
Yeah, the soft, fleshy underbelly.
Yeah, and then it crumples in like a sack of shit, and then he goes off, and then he hears Cedric say.
Yeah, he can hear someone walking parallel to him, kind of on the other side of a bush. And he hears Cedric being like, what are you doing? What the hell do you think you're doing?
Yeah. No, don't put it in there.
I'm not ready.
Oh, God.
And then he hears Crumb's voice, cast Crucio. So Harry, he reductos a hole in the hedge to, like, bust his way through it. And then, like, yeah, fights
Why
his...
Why wouldn't you just do that to... all the hedges just to get to the centre.
Yes, true. and he busts his way through it, stupefies Crumb, and so then Harry and Cedric are like temporarily united, I guess.
Yeah, they hold hands, and Cedric's like, I knew you were the one.
Kiss a little bit.
Yeah. And Cedric's like, I thought he was all right. And then Harry's like, yeah, I did too. I guess you never know, right?
Yeah.
And Cedric's like, yeah. I mean, Hermione did say you just can't trust foreigners.
Maybe I should check out this book she's been going on about.
Yeah. She said she's writing her own manifesto. She said she got an original title for it. It's called My Struggle. I mean, I don't know. Like, what do you think?
She says she wants to go to Azkaban to write it properly. It's like so it'll be more authentic.
And I was like, yeah, I think that's a great idea. You know, lots of peace and quiet, probably lots of like-minded souls. So yeah, they hold hands and then they No, they say, okay, we'll see you again. And then they split off again.
Yeah, and they... So then Harry's walking along by himself again. And the next thing he runs into...
is the Sphinx. A giant sphincter just floating there.
He's going, "Ooh, riddle me this."
It's like, return the map. Return what you have stolen from me. No, it's an Egyptian style sphinx.
Yep. It says it's going to give him a riddle.
Yeah, it's like, if you solve the riddle, I let you pass. If you choose to stay silent, you can walk away. If you give me the wrong answer, I'll attack.
Dun, dun, dun. Then Harry weighs up his options and he's like, well, if the riddle's hard, I can just stay silent and walk away. Well deduced, Harry.
And he's like, fine, let me hear it.
And it is.
Do you have it? Did you write it down?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. I think I actually wrote, hold on. Yeah. I wrote, Harry encounters the Sphinx. Hopefully Tom's written down the rhyme.
Oh, well, I have. So the riddle is, first think of a person who lives in disguise, who deals in secrets and tells naught but lies. Next tell me what's always the last thing to mend, the middle of middle and end of end. And finally give me the sound often heard during the search for a hard-to-find word. Now string them together and answer me this. Which creature would you be unwilling to kiss?
I think that's such a shit end to that.
Yeah, probably, because there's lots. But did you remember what the answer was?
Yeah.
I did not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I did get it.
Okay.
But I'm wondering if I did sort of subconsciously remember from having read the books years ago. So I don't want to give myself full credit. But I had no idea what the answer to the riddle was, and I worked it out from the clues.
That's pretty smart, I guess.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I can't remember if I got it.
I don't think I did when I read it. I can't imagine I did the first times I read it. And, you know, like I said, I'm sure there is a part of my brain that remembered that that was the answer, but I... consciously, I felt like I didn't remember and that I worked it out.
Yeah, so Harry's like, someone who does this. Oh, that's a spy.
Yeah, who lives in... someone who lives in disguise, deals in secrets, an imposter. No, that's not my guess.
Yeah.
That's the spy. He's like, it's always the last thing to mend. No idea. Sound off unheard during search for a hard-to-find word.
Spider.
Yeah, the middle and end of end. The letter D. So something that I'm literally just putting together right now.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing that Harry encounters is a spider.
Yeah.
So it's like the answer is a spider. Yeah, you can pass through. It's a spider.
Yeah, that's the first time I thought of that was this time when I listened to it, I think.
I literally just thought of it right now.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
3 points to Gifton. Yeah, so he goes past him and this fuck off spider appears. It must be one of Aragog's kids.
Well, yeah, so that's it. He can see the cup and he's like dashes forward, but he can see something else up ahead of him and he's like, oh, Cedric's there. Cedric's going to get their way before me. He's taller, he's got longer legs, he's faster. And then bang, giant spider. Harry's spells do nothing. It all just deflects or they're like off its armor, I guess. It's
kind of the same thing what happens with the screw happens to the spider.
And then the spider grabs Harry, like lifts him up, and he can hear Cedric like throwing spells at it from underneath as well that are doing nothing. Harry takes like a poisonous fang in the leg or something. He gets his leg injured somehow.
See, that's when you need a bottle of Phoenix tears.
Yeah, or just a handy Phoenix in a bag.
So they defeat the spider, basically.
Yeah, Harry disarms it and its fangs fall out. And then Harry and Cedric...
That's so bizarre.
Yeah. And then Harry and Cedric stupefy it together from underneath and it keels over. And Harry's all like, Cedric, take the cup. So you were like, going to get there first.
Yeah, he's like, no, you've saved my life twice so far. You told me about this, you told me about the dragons. And I was like, yeah, you tell me about the egg. He's like, yeah, I didn't even fucking get... Well, I got help with the egg, so it's fine.
And Harry's like, I had help with the dragons.
Yeah, and then Cedric's like, oh, what should we do? And Harry's like, I don't know, just make me feel good.
So after trying to convince each other that they deserve it more than the other, Harry's like, look, let's both just fucking take it at the same time, all
right? Right, so my first thing here is that after all this, right... How down to fucking like happenstance and chance that Harry would get the cup to be transported is fucking ridiculous.
Well, that's why Moody's around walking around the outside.
Yeah, but at that moment, like it was just him and Cedric by the cup. And if Harry had just been like, Cedric, no, you take it, then fucking Cedric would have just taken the cup.
That's true, yeah.
And then and then what?
I guess maybe Moody can't see this deep into the
place. Like unless Moody's like in the maze as well, which I think he was at some point, but he wasn't there, was he?
No.
So do you think maybe he would have just busted through the thing of the cadaveraged Cedric and then been like, Harry, come on, let's go.
Well, I think Harry would have been somewhat reluctant to go with him after that.
No, he probably would have stupefied Harry as well. But I just thought it just seemed like so much after all this for it to just be down to chance that Harry got the cup.
Yeah, see, I guess
it seemed that's where this whole thing really... Do you know what? No, it's not where it falls apart. It fell apart long before this, but it's just one... That's the first moment where I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. He should have just Imperioed Crumb to kill Cedric and Fleur and then himself in the maze if he really wanted to make sure that Harry got there.
Yeah.
And he should have removed all of the obstacles.
Yeah.
Anyway, they grab the cup.
So they grab it together and they're instantly teleported. End of chapter.
Yes. And then it's chapter 32, Flesh, Blood and Boners. So they arrive in a fucking graveyard behind what we know to be the Riddle House.
Yep. Dark, overgrown graveyard. And they're like, is this still part of the task? I don't know. Cedric's like, one's out, do you reckon? Yeah.
And I was like, always.
Always. Obviously.
I permanently keep my pants around my ankles, Cedric, for this very emergency.
And Cedric's like, no, I meant wand. And Harry's like, Ron's wand? Yes, I play with that too.
Why are you speaking with Snape?
Harry's like, surprise, and rips off his face. Oh god, no. So they're like, what the fuck is this? And then they see two figures emerging from somewhere in the distance.
One figure emerging, isn't it?
I guess one figure holding a smaller figure, right?
Hold carrying a bundle of robes.
Yeah, bundle of oranges.
Yeah. And he stops like 6 feet away from them by a headstone. And Harry's scar suddenly explodes with pain.
Yeah, Harry's like, oh, it hurts.
He orgasms everywhere.
And Voldemort's like, if you just push out, it will go in easier. It's true. No, Voldemort's like, very casually, I will have to say, it hurt. It was, it made it so much worse how casually he says it, but he just goes, kill the spear.
Oh, see, I really didn't like the way the line was delivered in the audiobook.
Really?
Yeah, it's kill the spear. Yeah. Like, fuck off.
Kill the spear!
Yeah. Like, before that, I don't know, this is what I mean by a high voice not being scary.
I liked it. I felt like the casual tone of it was enough. Was even more, like, menacing than it would have been.
It sounded like fucking Neville's grandmother saying it or something.
I don't think so. I quite liked it, personally.
Yeah. I think I just, because I've only ever read the books up until this, and I've seen the films as well, but I maybe watched this film once, AD. I can't really remember it. It's my main mental imagery for this bit is what I've conjured myself from watching the book, and the voice is a menacing quality to it, that just hearing it said like that was just like, what?
I mean, like I've said before, like always, maybe not always, definitely book 7, I pictured his voice to be like super high pitched.
Mm.
So, but I don't know, I liked it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so he's like, kill the spear. Kill the spear.
Yeah, it's not, that would be better.
Kill the spear.
Kill the spear.
If I try and do a snake voice without doing the snake voice with it, and if it just comes out like a...
Kill the spear. Kill the spear.
I just sound like Snape still, don't I?
Yeah, what are you doing and not doing?
I'm trying to do like a menacing Voldemort voice
through the same methods, but you kind of can't help but slip into Alan Rickman. You can't.
Like, kill the spear. Kill the spear.
Kill the spear.
Whoa.
That would have terrified me. Fucking hell. Can you imagine?
Yeah, Jesus, what is in those robes?
And Wormtail's like, Avada Kedavra.
Hear Avada Kedavra. And then hears something heavy falling. Harry hears something heavy fall just because Harry's like collapsed from the pain in his scar. And he dares to open his eyes and sees that Cedric is dead.
Yeah. That broke my heart when it happened. No, it did, but...
Oh, well, wait, no, it didn't.
No, I fucking loved it, Tom. I fucking sprayed all over those pages. That's why I'm flesh, blood, and bone. I just can't read because it's all glued together. No, because my friend, when I was reading the book, my friend, this militant weird guy at school, said, you know that Cedric dies, right? And I went, no, he doesn't. But when he did, I was like, oh, but I knew because that cunt told me.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate spoilers.
And I remember I heard the rumour that Dumbledore died in book 6, like, days before I bought the book. And I was like, fuck. Yeah. I had to stop watching TV and everything, but the, like, 2 weeks before book 7 came out, just because I didn't want to hear any rumours, even.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that as well. I like, even, like, joke spoilers and, like, fan theories and stuff, I don't want to hear. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, because just in case it is close to the truth, I don't want it spoiled for me. I just want to go in, like...
And yeah. Yeah, me too.
And he's like, fuck. And then Peter ties Harry to a headstone.
And he sees the name on it is Tom Riddle.
Yeah. And he's like, fuck.
And then he recognises that it's Wormtail that is tying him.
Mm. And then Wormtail goes and gets like a cauldron. Like,
yeah, gigantic cauldron. There's a giant snake slithering about somewhere nearby.
Yeah. I put Peter pushes a cauldron into the clearing and Peter heats it up and mixes it.
Well, yes, he does.
He dumps the, what I affectionately have called the Vold abortion. He dumps it into the cauldron.
I called it helpless fetus Voldemort. Yours is way better.
You ain't been to the studio tour, have you?
No.
They've got the Vold abortion there, and you press the button and it moves. It's fucking sick, bruv. Harry hears like the clang as it hits the bottom.
Yeah, and he's like, let it drown. Please, God, let it drown.
I loved Harry's like thought process throughout this, because it's exactly what you would think.
Yeah.
And everything's like, just like the severity of the situation is not like understated, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all very good.
And then Wormtail starts to speak.
Yeah, he goes, "Bone of the Father, unknowingly given, you will renew your son." And then the...
pops a bone in.
No, the grave underneath Harry splits and dust, like, flows out.
Mm.
And then into the cauldron. I thought that was awesome. Because in the film, just a bone that's on the gravestone, like, lifts up and floats into the cauldron. I was like, this is way better.
Yeah.
And also, why wouldn't you do it the book way? Because that, I reckon that'd be more visually interesting to have, like, the dust floating up and... but maybe they didn't know if people would get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, even though it's not a massive leap, needed to be an actual bone.
Yeah, just to make it, like, super-duper clear. Because I think films sometimes assume that everyone's an idiot who's watching it.
Yeah.
And then he goes, "Flesh of the servant, willingly given, you will revive your master." And he holds up his fingerless hand. Not his fingerless hand. His hand with a one less finger. Fucking cuts it off, Tom.
Bloody cuts it off, doesn't he?
Yeah, and it plummets into the cauldron and he fucking drops to the ground screaming, like, yeah. Understandably.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing that to myself, but I guess it's that kind of thing that you didn't have a choice really at that point.
No, I don't know how you carry on and do the rest of it, like, yeah, in that sort of pain.
Yeah, because he doesn't have a wand, right? Or does it? No, he must have. Ivada Kedavra'd, or was that with Voldemort's wand?
Well, he would still have that then, wouldn't he? He didn't put that in the cauldron.
Yeah, so he could have just gone like Helicus.
Helicus.
Maybe if he did that, it wouldn't work because it wouldn't have been like a sacrifice then.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that happens. And then he goes up to Harry and he cuts him. It would have been cool if he'd just, like, cut him, like, re-etched out his, like, scar.
Oh.
That would have been, like, oh, just, yeah. Or just gave him, like, another one on the other side. Two lightning bolt scars.
He just extended his current one down all the
or
way down,
like,
his face.
A massive, like, a David Bowie one across his yeah. face.
Yeah, blood of the enemy, forcibly taken, you will resurrect your foe.
Yeah, and then he drips the blood into the cauldron and the cauldron bursts into this beautiful, like, white light that looks yeah. like diamonds are glistening on the surface.
Harry's still...
just, like, the imagery is beautiful, I think.
Yeah, and he's still... Harry's still willing it to have gone wrong.
Sorry, no, he puts a little fire underneath the cut he does and then he pours that into the cauldron.
Well, yeah.
For some reason I thought he, like... took the knife and put that into the cauldron. Yeah. Which would have been more, like, cool, I think.
It's the same result, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah. Should have just cut Harry and then dumped Harry in the cauldron.
Yeah.
Two birds, one stone. There we go.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he could have literally just killed Harry there, and then I guess Voldemort wants to do his stand-up and exposition
yeah,
thing,
and
he?
This is a real thing, and one of the main reasons why I think it works that Harry was never, like, killed at any other point in the book, because Voldemort needs the theatre of knowing that people saw him kill the boy that they thought defeated him.
Yeah,
he needs everyone to know and to see it and love it, because he needs that, like, adulation from it. Which is why he didn't just, like, do, like, secret killing of Harry, which he could have done a few times in the past, you know?
There we go.
There we go. The eyes have it. Yeah, and then then mist fucking erupts, and Voldemort steps out like he's on Stars in Their Eyes.
Tonight, Matthew.
I'm going to be...
Cher. Robe me.
Oh, fucking hell. And the so Voldemort says, "Robe me," to Wormtail. And then it goes, "Lord Voldemort had risen again."
Yes.
Bum, bum, bum. Also, Harry saw a naked Voldemort.
Yeah. Gross.
Wank bank.
Blackmail material.
Yeah.
Stick that in a pensive.
At the very, very, very end, when they're fighting in the Great Hall in the Circle, then he's like, "Voldemort has a tiny baby dick. Did you all know that?" And he's like, "No, it's not true, I swear."
Exhibit A, Dumbledore the Pensive, if you please.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, that brings us to the end of this chapter, the end of this episode.
Indeed.
Probably the end of our podcasting careers, but...
I mean, I think that after the end of every episode.
We've had a good run, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm glad we ended with Cher. Oh, goal. Thanks for listening, guys. It's been a real slice. Please check us out on Instagram at PolyRedPod. Check us out on Twitter at PolyRedPod. Email us at polyred@gmail.com. And please rate and review us 5 stars only on the Apple Podcasting app. Without further ado, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.